Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam hiloka kratubi kritami. Chayina kshayishnava shatishayana mir nirmalaha. Tasmada drishta shruta dushanang param. Bhaktyo tayesham bhajatat malabdaye. Evam hiloka kratubi kritami. Chayishnavak shatishayana nirmalaha. Tasmada drishta shruta dushanang param. Bhaktyo tayesham bhajatat malabdaye. Evam hiloka kratubi kritadma kritami. Chayishnavak sat. Tishaya namir nirmalaha. Tasmada drishta shruta dushanang param. Bhaktyo tayesham bhajatat malabdaye. Ladies, please. Evam. Similarly, as earthly wealth and possessions are impermanent, he, indeed, lokaha, higher planetary systems, like heaven, the moon, the sun, and Brahmaloka, kartubihi, by performing great sacrifices, kirtaha, achieved, ami, all those, kshayeshnavaha, perishable, impermanent, satishayaha, although more comfortable and pleasing, na, not, nirmalaha, pure, free from disturbance, tasmat, therefore, adrishtashruta, never seen or heard, dushanam, whose fault, param, the supreme, bhaktya, with great devotional love, uktaya, as described in the Vedic literature, not mixed with jnana or karma, isham, the Supreme Lord, Pajita, worship, Atma Labdaye, for self-realization. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is learned from Vedic literature that by performing great sacrifices one may elevate himself to the heavenly planets. However, although life on the heavenly planets is hundreds and thousands of times more comfortable than life on earth, the heavenly planets are not pure, nirmalam, or free from the taint of material existence. The heavenly planets are also temporary, and therefore they are not the goal of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, has never been seen or heard to possess inebriety. Consequently, for your own benefit and self-realization, you must worship the Lord with great devotion, as described in the revealed scriptures. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krine punye martilokang vishanti, even if one is promoted to the higher planetary systems by performing great sacrifices, which are accompanied by the sinful act of sacrificing animals, the standard of happiness in Swargaloka is also not free of disturbances. There is a similar struggle for existence even for the King of Heaven, Indra. Thus there is no practical benefit in promoting oneself to the heavenly planets. Indeed, from the heavenly planets one must return to this earth after one has exhausted the results of his pious activities. In the Vedas it is said, Tad yate ha karma jito loka kshiyate evang eva mutra punya jito loka kshiyata. As the material positions we acquire here by hard work are vanquished in due course of time, one's residence in the heavenly planets is also eventually vanquished. According to one's activities of piety in different degrees, one obtains different standards of life. But none of them are permanent, and therefore they are all impure. Consequently, one should not endeavor to be promoted to the higher planetary systems, only to return to this earth, or to ascend still lower to the hellish planets. To stop this cycle of going up and coming down, one must take to Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagivan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. The living entity is rotating in the cycle of birth and death, going sometimes to the higher planets and sometimes to the lower planets. But that is not the solution to the problems of life. But if by the grace of Krishna one is fortunate enough to meet a guru, a representative of Krishna, one gets the clue to return home, back to Godhead, having achieved self-realization. This is what is actually desirable. Bhajatatma labhaye. One must take to Krishna consciousness for self-realization. Om Agyanati Madrandas Yaganajana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitang Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvi Namaha Namang Vishnu Padai Krishna Sai Budhale Shimate Pladananda Sanitone Namang Vishnu Padai Krishna Sai Budhale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Sanitone Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nipishasha Shunivadi Paschati Aite Shitarne. So thank you all for being here this morning. It's always an honor to have some Vaishnavas to serve. So when I was reading this verse, the first thing that I thought about actually was that very famous verse from Srila Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur, talking about actually I'll just read it. It comes from the Chaitanya Chandramrita, text 5. It's a very famous verse. Prabhupada quoted it many times. Kaivalyam narakayate tridasha porakasha pushpayate dordan tindriya kala sarpa patali proktata dangstrayate vishvang purna sukayate vidi mahindradishcha kitayate yat karunaya karunya kataksha vaibhavatang tang gaurang eva stumaha. Sorry, it's kind of a mouthful in the end there. The translation: when a devotee has achieved the position of rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he thinks impersonal Brahman to be no better than hell, Kaivalyam Narakayate, and regards material happiness in the heavenly planets to be like a will-o'-the-wisp. The literal translation there means sky flowers. It's Akashapushpayate. You know, so that's compared to the heavenly planets. You go up, but then you come down just like flowers falling from the sky. As far as the perfection of mystic powers is concerned, a devotee compares it to the venomous snake with no teeth. A mystic yogi is especially concerned with controlling the senses, but because the senses of a devotee are engaged in the service of the Lord, there is no need for separate control of the senses. This is talking about Dordan Tindriya Kala Sarpa Patali. You know, this very venomous and dangerous serpent of the Kalasarpa, the serpent of time, which devours us through bewildering us with these objects of the senses. But for a devotee, it's like this venomous serpent has been defanged. Proktaha dangstrayate, the venomous fangs of the serpent have been extracted. Proktaha. So the devotee is no longer fearful of all these situations. Why? Because the devotee has engaged his senses in the service of the Lord. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchite. For those who are materially engaged, control of the senses is required. But for devotee's senses, but a devotee's senses are all engaged in the service of the Lord, which means they're already controlled. A devotee's senses are not attracted by material enjoyment. Even though the material world is full of misery, the devotee considers this material world to be also spiritual because everything is engaged in the service of the Lord. And in regard to this verse, Srila Prabhupada actually... There's actually a rather funny morning walk conversation here in Los Angeles, December 2nd, 1973, when one devotee mentions to Prabhupada about how there was another failure with the space program. And so Prabhupada says, "They're simply childish fools. What have they gained in the last how many years? For how many years have they been trying to go to the moon with their Sputnik? But they were trying for many years before that. So let us say that for 25 years they've been trying. They have not gained anything except dust. But still they're trying. How obstinate. The space program will never be successful. Dr. Singh. They say that in the future they want to go to the surface of Mars. Srila Prabhupada. They're all becoming big men with their statements about the future. Dr. Singh. They say that it'll happen in about 10 years. Srila Prabhupada. So what if they say 1 year? They may say 10 years or 1 year. But we do not accept such propositions. We want to see what they are doing now. Dr. Singh. They're developing their technology by using small-scale models. Srila Prabhupada. They're simply childish. In my childhood, I used to watch the tram cars go along the rail. I once thought, I shall take a stick and touch it to the wire, and I shall also go along the rails. The scientists, with all their plans, are just as childish. They're spending so much time and money, but what is their purpose? Their effort is hopeless because they do not actually know the purpose of life. The scientists are spending large sums of money, and politicians are financing them. But the result is zero. They are like a doctor who doesn't understand the particular disease, but who still says to his patient, "All right, first try this pill, and if that doesn't work, then try this pill." The doctor will never admit that he doesn't know to remedy the remedy for the disease. The scientists are simply bluffing and cheating. They cannot solve the real problems of life, birth, death, old age, and disease, and therefore all their programs are taking place on the utopian platform, which in Sanskrit is called Akasha Pushpa. Akasha Pushpa means a flower from the sky. All their efforts to know the truth by exploring outer space are like trying to pluck a flower from the sky. This one's pretty funny. To give another example, the scientists act like foolish ducks. In India, we sometimes observe a duck following all day behind a ball. The duck is thinking that the... Sorry, it's a really funny example. The duck is thinking that the testicles of the bull are like a fish. In India, this is a common sight. The bull is walking, and all day the duck is walking behind, following that the big fish... and thinking, it will drop. I will eat it. Sorry, I couldn't resist. So, that's the position of so many people here in this material world. They're following behind this bull, thinking that the bull's testicles are going to drop, and thinking, wow, this really big fish is going to drop, and I'm going to eat it. I'm going to really enjoy. But it's just foolishness. It's complete foolishness. You know, just like Prabhupada said, it's like Akasha Pushpa. It's like these sky flowers. This wonderful flower just growing in the sky, and we're just going to pluck it, and then we're going to get this wonderful, beautiful existence. And that's the nature. That's what people are trying so hard to do. And society is becoming so demonic nowadays that just like, who was it, Ravana, wanting to build a staircase to the moon? You know, so this is the nature of demoniac people. They don't want to even put in the austerities and the hard work to achieve the heavenly planets, which even in today's verse is being denigrated. Elevating yourself to the heavenly planets through sacrifice and austerity. Even that is being put down in today's verse. Why? Because even that, even going to the heavenly planets by pious means, is a waste of time. It's just Akasha Pushpa. How long do the flowers last in the sky? They don't. As soon as they're thrown in the sky, they fall down. It may take some time, just like depending upon how many austerities we've done and how much endeavor we've put into our penances and austerities, our pious activities. That will determine how high our flowers will go. But at the same time, those flowers still have to fall. They'll still return to this earth. So no matter you elevate yourself, even up to Brahmaloka, even Lord Brahma, even Lord Brahma is afraid. He's in anxiety. Why is Lord Brahma in anxiety? Lord Brahma doesn't have any miseries of material existence inflicted by other living beings, inflicted by his own body. But he still does have miseries inflicted by his own mind. What is this misery that he's suffering? It's the misery of knowing you're going to die. That this existence is temporary. This material existence is temporary. Even Lord Brahma, he's the controller of this entire universe. He doesn't suffer as we suffer. His body doesn't grow old. He doesn't suffer from Alzheimer's, from heart attacks, from strokes. He never has to go to see the doctor. But still he's suffering. Because he knows that in 100 years, actually now. Can you please turn that off? Sorry. Because he knows that in 50 years from now, he's going to have to leave his body. You can just close the screen and it'll turn off the sound. Okay, thank you. So Lord Brahma knows that in 50 years' time from now, he's also going to be leaving his body. So that's causing him untold anxiety. And so here we are, all following in the footsteps of Ravana, trying to achieve the heavenly planets through material means, through scientific advancement, through so-called betterment of our material existence. But the thing is, it's just foolishness. Here we are on the verge of making our plans to go to Mars by the year, what is it, 2030 or 2025, somewhere around there? I forget exactly what they're projecting now, but... And they're thinking that we're becoming so advanced, we're going to conquer outer space. We're going to establish a civilization on Mars. But even that, what's the use? We're still going to be suffering birth, death, old age, and disease. We're still going to have all the same problems of existence. We're still going to grow old. In fact, they've determined that being exposed to the high radiation of space will actually accelerate the onset of Alzheimer's. You know, we're just like a little ant, thinking that we know something about the world, but yet we don't even hardly understand even where we are. And we see this giant monolithic pillar and think, oh yes, I'm on the verge of a great discovery. I'm really going to explore the whole world. You know, and the ant is maybe at somebody's toe. And the ant is just seeing like the top of the toe, thinking, yes, I'm going to conquer everything. But what's the ant? It's just insignificant. And here we are, these little insignificant beings. Just like Prabhupada gave the example to, what was his name, the former TP here a long, long time ago? No, it started with a K, I think. Yeah, Karandar. So Prabhupada is saying, in this material world, there's unlimited universes. In these unlimited universes, the smallest of which, there's one Brahma with four... Oh, Tamal Krishna, okay. The smallest of which has four heads. And within this universe, there's so many planets, unlimited planets. And of these unlimited planets, there's one tiny planet called planet Earth. And on this planet Earth, there's so many different continents. And in this continent, on these continents, there's North America. And within America, there's a tiny little city called Los Angeles. And within this tiny little city of Los Angeles, there's a tiny little person called Tamal Krishna, thinking that he's controlling everything. And that's our position. We're these tiny little insignificant beings on this insignificant little planet, in this insignificant little corner of this material universe. And we're thinking that we're going to somehow achieve heavenly planets or heavenly enjoyment through our scientific advancement, through manipulating this material energy. But yet we're so tossed around by the waves of karmic reaction that we don't even know which way is up. Just like Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi was performing these great austerities and penances, and then Nara Narayan came and offered him any benediction. Pick anything you want, and you can have it. And Markandeya Rishi was so foolish that he asked to see how the material energy works. So Markandeya Rishi gave a wry smile and he said, okay. I'm sorry, Narayan. And said, okay, I'll show you that. And then he leaves. Then Markandeya Rishi goes back to his penances and austerities along the riverbank. Then all of a sudden, everything begins filling with water. The whole universe gets flooded with water, a giant inundation and annihilation. And here he is, suffering in this water. And in this universal annihilation, there's these gigantic waves. Imagine waves. I mean, even in the oceans here, we have waves that get up to almost 200 feet tall. And just imagine being thrown in those waves. What to speak of being thrown in waves of a universal proportion. So we're talking waves like millions of times bigger. We can't even imagine. These waves are crashing down on Markandeya Rishi in the pitch black, being bumped and tossed around, even swallowed by Timangila fish. But he's so small that he just goes in and out of the mouths of the Timangila fish. He's just, compared to them, he's just like some insignificant particle of dust. And he's just being harassed on all sides. And he's suffering so much that he can't even tell whether he's in the water or if he's out of the water or which way is up, which way is left or right. And that's our situation. We're suffering so much from our own mind, from the miseries of a material existence, from the actions and reactions of karma, that we have no clue what's going on. And even when we get hit by the reactions, we still deny it. Oh no, that's not karma. Karma doesn't exist. Just within the short time that I've been here in the LA temple. When I first came here, the weather patterns were, for the most part, regulated. You'd have a winter, as far as LA goes, a winter. And then you'd have spring, and then you'd have summer. As soon as summer would come, you'd get the marine layer. Then the marine layer would burn off, and then towards the end of the summer, it'd be sunny. Then you'd get fall, and it was very regulated. It was like clockwork. Nowadays, there is no regulated weather. The last 2 years we had record heat waves in December, 90 degree Decembers. This year the December was really cold here. We had 30 degree weather here in December. It's unpredictable now. And scientists are saying, even though there's all the evidence saying that yes, the world is heating up by our activities as a direct result of our actions, still, they're so obstinate and so foolish. They're saying, oh no, it's not because of our actions. It's not because of all these horrible toxic pollutants that we're spewing into the atmosphere. Really, my actions have no consequences. I can do anything I want and it doesn't have any consequences. That's why traditionally there was a whole system, the whole Varnashram system. The purpose of the Brahmins was to advise the Kshatriyas on how to properly rule. The purpose of the Kshatriyas was to protect the populace, so the Vaishyas wouldn't exploit them at any cost. And the Vaishyas were meant to engage the Shudras in labor to produce things for society, so all of society could function. But nowadays, as Prabhupada said, practically speaking, there are no Brahmins or Kshatriyas. There are no people educated in how to live. And there are no people interested in protecting society. He said there's simply a handful of Vaishyas, a small handful of Vaishyas, exploiting the rest of the world for their own sense gratification. And that's what we see, like this so-called last financial meltdown beginning around 2008. You know, these people, these very greedy people, they profited 5 times off of this, just a cheating activity. 5 times. First, they make profit by selling homes to people who they know cannot repay the loans. That's the first profit. Then, when they default on the loans, then what they do is they package that debt into so-called securities, and they sell those securities to other people. So now they no longer hold the debt for those doomed loans. So that's the second time they profited. And then the people foreclose on the banks foreclose on their homes because they can't pay their home loans. And so they profit a third time by seizing the homes back. Because they still own the homes. Even though they've sold the debt to other people, they still own the physical property. So that's the third time that they've profited. And then the banks get bailed out by the government. That's the fourth time they profited. And then when all the securities fail, because nobody can pay off their loans, then the banks had already reserved, there's a special kind of option called a put, which means that when you exercise this option, you make money off of the loss that that security has sustained, that security or stock. So the banks that packaged up these securities, they reserved all these put options for themselves because they knew they would fail. And so then when all these securities failed, they exercised their put options, and that's the fifth time they profited. They profited 5 times from one cheating activity. And nobody was held accountable for it. Not a single person involved was held accountable. Rather, they're trillions of dollars richer. So this is modern society. This is these people thinking that I shall enjoy heavenly opulences in this very lifetime through my own mental concoctions and scientific advancement and political and social manipulation. I can enjoy in a heavenly way. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying that all this is simply a waste of time. It's just like the Akasha Pushpa, the sky flowers. They look nice for a little bit of time, but they fall down. So what's the use in wasting our time? We may have trillions of dollars in this lifetime, but in our next life we may be a cockroach in the house that we formerly owned. Or a dog, like that example, that story from that Indian man who became very wealthy. And he was so attached to his family wealth and home that in his next lifetime, he became, what was it, a cobbler? Yeah, he became a cobbler, making shoes for his own sons in his previous life. Then his own sons were beating him with shoes. So it's all just a big phantasmagoria, a will-o'-the-wisp. It's all an illusion. So why waste our time? We don't have very much time in this human form of life. It's a very rare form of life to have. So why not use it for its best advantage? Why not use it for the purpose for which it's meant? Namely, self-realization. And then by engaging it in that manner, we can actually achieve perfection and go back to Godhead. So I'll end there if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
I actually wanted to prove my point again when he was talking about the first time how we try to
The volume is too high. If somebody could kindly turn channel one down.
Test, test. All right. What I was saying. Like I was actually channel one day, and they actually have this device where they can actually like control the weather, and like they use it during warfare and stuff like that. I forgot the name of the machine, but like situated in like in Alaska, and so they use it for so many different things. So as you know, just to prove my point, as you were saying, you know, how we try to, you know, be like God and how to try to imitate, you know, I think we can be the controller. But, you know, that's all I want to say.
Yeah. Yes, Prabhu?
You were talking how Lord Brahma was scared of death. Does he have no idea of an afterlife or life after what he...
No, he knows about... I mean, Lord Brahma is perfectly enlightened in the Vedas. You know, just turn the mic off, please. Thank you. The point is, even if you know about reincarnation, even when you know about all these other things, you're still in anxiety. Nobody wants to die. You know, Lord Brahma's lifetime is actually, it lasts for the entire duration of this universe. The duration of the universe is tied to Lord Brahma's life. When Lord Brahma is born, is the beginning of this universe, and when he dies, is the end of this universe. You know, so when Mahavishnu is going through his breathing cycle, when he exhales, all the universes are manifested. When he inhales, all the universes become unmanifest within his body again. And so Lord Brahma exists for the duration of one breath of Mahavishnu. And Lord Brahma knows exactly when it is he's going to die. We don't necessarily have that luxury. I'm sure it would cause more anxiety to most people if they knew when they were going to die. But yes, even Lord Brahma is anxious about his death. He is a devotee. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Our Lord Brahma is actually a pure devotee. You know, everyone is scared to death. Amla Bhakta Prabhu. Closing comment by Amla Bhakta.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. I just wanted to comment on this last point that was being made regarding Lord Brahma. He does have anxiety, but not so much about dying. Generally, not always, but generally, Lord Brahma goes back to Godhead. He goes to one of the Vaikuntha planets. That's his destination. That, not necessarily, but generally. That's what... In fact, those who live in the live in Brahmaloka generally go back, but not necessarily. Sometimes there's some offenses which will keep them back into the material world. But Lord Brahma's really, his chief problem is that he knows that he has not achieved the highest level of devotion. And that's an anxiety to him. He has seen the gopis' level of devotion. He has seen the cowherd boys' level of devotion. And his only desire is to be born as one of the leaves of grass in the village or in the forest of Vrindavan so that they will step on his head or on the leaves, and he can absorb through those leaves the sublime vibration of their one-pointed, concentrated love of God. And if he can achieve that, then there is no need for him ever to, for example, to come back to this earth. He will then achieve the highest level of devotional love. And that's something that he desires to have. In fact, he mentions that in his prayers after he has tried to play a little trick on Krishna, and the trick rebounded upon himself. That's one of his. Another one is that because he is, as you mentioned, he's the chief or he's the controller of this particular universe, is that he's proud of this. He can't avoid it. Everyone looks up to him. So that creates a certain amount of occasional confusion and uncertainty, which caused him to become bewildered over the fact whether this little cowherd boy, who is no more than about 5 years old at that time, is he really my master? Can he really control me? Can he really find out if I play a trick on him? Can he figure it out? So he became a little bewildered there. So that's the result of false pride. And Brahma knows that, and he mentions that also in his beautiful prayers. Those prayers of Lord Brahma should be gone over by every one of us, because each sentence or two is a meditation in itself. So yes, he has that kind of problem of false pride, which leads to bewilderment and confusion, uncertainty, and also a wrong decision. He did an offensive act by actually taking Krishna's cowherd boys away, taking these little cows away, just to play a trick. You don't do that to your master. You see, that's wrong. If you have some doubt, you approach the master and say, "This is my doubt. Can you please settle it for me?" Not you go and take this very bold, very autocratic activity or mentality to Lord Sri Krishna, even if you're uncertain. Thank you. Jai. Haribol.
Grantar Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.